hello again, and welcome to the Mentor Minutes podcast. I am your co-host, Steven.
And I'm your other co-host, Jared.
That's right. And so what are we talking about today?
Well, like we always talk about, we talk about board games and other nonsense.
Other nonsense?
Yeah, well, sometimes we talk about wine and movies and books and Sanderson.
Yeah, and Sanderson. A lot of Sanderson. So speaking of wine... Viticulture Worlds. Yeah. Just got it literally today.
Just today. We opened it.
I am together. So excited. Yeah, I was actually behind the camera just like sitting there.
So check out that unboxing video if you would, because that just happened.
Yeah, so I think the actual release date for...
The Qualp game? The expansion?
Yeah. Is next month, right?
Is it? I mean, I think we bought it off the website.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to say I got any, like, extra...
I mean, they still considered that a pre-order.
Yeah, that's true. So, I guess if you're a champion, then you get it early, and that's why mine arrived.
I guess so.
And if you're not, then I think it's next month.
Then you gotta wait. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, the Viticulture expansion comes in... Well, so you can buy it in a wine crate, which is essentially their big box, you know, container storage system for all that Viticulture is at this point.
Right.
You know, that's had many, many, many expansions as far as like the cards, and then Tuscany, of course. And now you've got Viticulture Cooperative, Viticulture World. So all of that now they've offered this wine crate solution.
And I love how there's so many editions of Viticulture. There's like the regular edition, the essential edition. There's Tuscany regular. There's Tuscany essential.
Right.
Then there's like the other smaller expansions that came before Tuscany. That
There's cards. It's like the Visit from the Rhine Valley and then Moore's Visitors.
Yeah. Well, there is also the Arboriculture or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that came before Tuscany. It's not... It apparently wasn't very popular, and so they didn't put it in the Essential Edition. But all that stuff can fit in the crate as well. Like, everything that's ever come out for Viticulture, whether or not it's actually still in use or ever came out,
right,
it'll fit.
I think that's great. I mean, for at this point, that's what you need. You know, you need some way to store all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, it looks great. I like the way that they put all the trays in there. It looks like it's going to work out pretty well. Because, I mean, now you're talking three boards to store with the game.
Yeah.
The base game, Tuscany, Viticulture World. They all have different boards.
I keep looking over at it because I just want to play with it some more.
He's getting ready to like sort it right now.
I know.
Like, stop the podcast.
If you see me looking in that direction, I'm looking at my box.
He's like, fixated on wanting to make this thing like sorted. And just, all right. But we're going to move on.
Yeah, let's talk about something more interesting.
If I keep talking about it, he's just going to abandon the podcast. Yeah. And then you're going to say, what happened to Steven? And I'll say, well, I just told you.
You can be a one-man podcast.
No. Can't do that. Who wants to hear themselves talk? I mean... Not me. So, did you know that The Godfather, Corleone's Empire, is out of print? I didn't realize this.
What?
Yeah, and I bought it years ago when it came out, but I figured, you know, it was like a evergreen kind of game. Like, it was just going to keep getting in print. I mean, what's happened? Am I the last to know that this doesn't have what is it now, like, exclusive?
I would have to say you're probably still in the know somewhat, so you might be the last of the in-the-know people, but...
Like the last of the 10% of people
who
follow this stuff.
But you still get 90 percentile. Well, you're still...
I guess. But still, I mean, this is upsetting because I think it's a great, great game that is so underrepresented and, you know, like, it's just great. I mean, it's a wonderful worker placement game, thematic after the movies, and, you know, it's a wonderful gateway type of game. Now, maybe it's not the first worker placement game you show somebody, but it's probably the second one that I recommend that you show somebody.
What's your first?
Something short, like Mintworks or...
Okay.
Maybe even Stone Age or something like that.
All right.
But yeah, I would go with The Godfather. It's an easy one to get to the table because gamers, non-gamers, it's easy to say, hey, you've seen the movies. You get to kill each other in this game. And, you know, it's fun that you can be your family, your own Godfather family, mafia family, rather.
I wouldn't mind playing through it.
Oh, my goodness. It's fun. I love it. It's I'm just bummed that it's not in print anymore because now if I'm recommending it, which I have been, people are going to be like, well, hey, you sent me to get this game and it's not available.
It's like Dreamscape. I got Dreamscape recently.
Yes, talk about that.
Yeah, so I played it recently at the last con I was at, and I loved it so much. Literally before the game ended, I already had it up on eBay looking to buy.
It was like, where can I find this?
Yeah, it's apparently out of print.
It's been out of print for years.
Yeah, and it's mostly in French?
2017, I think. I mean, it's been years.
Yeah. So I actually
owned the French copy because I couldn't find the English copy at a reasonable price in the States.
And I got the English copy and I accidentally paid an unreasonable price just because I put it in my cart and then at some point accidentally hit quick buy. And well, I mean, I'm not complaining too much, but also
I accidentally bought it.
Yeah.
And it was like the all in.
It was, yeah.
Like it wasn't just the base game. It was like everything that they had.
It was, yeah.
But that's awesome because now I can play the expansions with you.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's a great game.
My wallet is not excited about
it. Did you tell Anna about this?
I did not tell her. So it showed up and she saw that it was like one big box and then like four small boxes.
And she's like, what did you do?
And I was like, oh, nothing. It's just a game. Like, no big deal.
It's just a game.
Yeah.
It's just this out of print, all in Kickstarter that is very rare at this point in the States, and I paid way too much for her.
When you put it in those terms, it sounds a lot worse.
Oh, I can't wait to tell her.
It'll be hidden by then.
And it's going to be this easy. Hey, Anne, check out the latest podcast.
We didn't name any prizes.
That's true. He actually did it while we were at the con. When he pulled out his phone, he was looking at like prices for this thing, and then I remember he was standing there in the parking lot. He opens it up and he's like, yeah, it's not even on eBay. And I got it in my cart. And he's like, oh, I hit the wrong button because apparently I just bought it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
they make quick buy so easy. Shout out to eBay. Like, it's super easy.
Too easy.
Yeah.
To spend and lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for you. I mean, for the longest time, ever since I played it, it's been like a grail game for me. Like, trying to find it at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I own it now. Obviously, I've had it, but now he played it one time, just like me. He caught the Dreamscape bug and was like, I got to get a copy, and just perchance ended up buying the all in.
It's so, like, it's the perfect combination of just like a relaxing, fun game because of like the art and everything. Yeah. But at the same time, it's really
stressful.
Puzzly.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Sagrada feel to it where you got to match patterns in your own little board of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no dice. It's just, but you are drafting things in a sense. You're trying to get these colored tiles from different areas.
Right,
and that's really your only actions. After that, then it kind of, you use things to manipulate it. Like you use tiles to manipulate stuff. But during the first part of like the round, you're just moving and then collecting discs.
Like, yeah, you have like four actions, which include moving, collecting discs, all that kind of things. And so like you do have to kind of budget your actions, but there's ways that you can really get around like doing quick jumps and things like that.
There's a lot of combos that you can do with the cards that you start completing. And even if you don't complete one, you do get that first extra action on the card that's sitting out there, which is great. So you're always able to do some extra thing every turn as long as you collected a disc that you want to use, but you know that disc isn't wasted. You get it comes back to you, so you can use it again in the next round or put it in your dreamscape. And they say that because it's like a landscape, but it's for your dream.
Yeah,
and you're making terrain types and stacking.
It's a bunch of weird terrain too, like just this big old like hill surrounded by water. It's all really kind of dreamy looking, but at the same time, it's just really cool.
The art in this game is fantastic.
Oh yeah!
If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. Go take a look at all the pictures of the board and the art and everything. It's very language independent. Like I said, I have the French version. The only thing I'm lacking is having good reference cards that are in English because the various actions that you might want. I mean, the cards I have are in French, so. You know,
but I scanned them for you, so you have them.
So yeah, first thing I said was, go ahead and scan those reference cards for me, because then I'll just print those off, tuck them in my card sleeve, good to go.
You should put them on BGG, so then everyone has them.
You should put them on BGG, so everyone has them. Hello.
Yeah, maybe.
So you played this at Recon in Kernersville over Memorial Day weekend.
I did.
We both went to this convention. We went. I went last year. You didn't go last year.
No, it's my first time.
We also went with Holly, and she's been behind the scenes on the channel. I don't know if you've noticed the news videos sometimes in the most recent ones in the description, also written by Holly Blackney. So she's been helping out with writing some of those just because it's an ongoing chore of writing stuff constantly. Whereas like a tutorial, I can get a lot done. I can take a break and get some other stuff done, take a break, and then, you know, put them out. But the news, there's always stuff to talk about. There's always stuff to research. It's just,
it seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I like that you just invite me here and I just talk, and that's all I have to do.
Well, I mean, I wish you'd do more, but I can't make you.
But I like just sitting here and talking. That's all I have to do.
Well, I mean,
play games sometimes. Sometimes I play games.
Sometimes he plays games. Yeah. Mostly I try to get him to work, but he won't do it.
You want me to like email people and stuff?
Yeah, I'm like, come on, talk to people, get out there. Maybe you should join Facebook for once.
I break down when I have to email people. Like most of my work days, like
he's not on social media. It's ridiculous. I'm like, you know, you're on the internet now. Like people are gonna look for you.
Yeah, I'll get on Instagram or something.
Yeah, I mean, start there. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you want to see Steven on Instagram, comment below with suggested names for him for usernames.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, leave us a comment.
And maybe I'll take it, unless they're all horrendous. And
then... Or used, because, I mean, people could take it.
Oh, good point. Yeah, but, don't leave your own.
Well, even if it wasn't taken, someone could read it and then take it.
That's true.
So you got to be on it.
So if there is an Instagram name that's already taken, I will friend them instead.
Hey, there you go. Free friend.
Yeah.
Steven will be your friend.
I will.
Okay, so that's our comment thread now, is just freaking Instagram, like, usernames. Good job.
Yeah.
So here we go. Recon's been fun, though. I've enjoyed, seeing some people that I saw last year, got to play some games again with some of those folks, so shout out to everybody that I got to play with. Thank you. And we did play a lot of new games that have come out.
Oh, yeah.
What was one that you want to talk about?
So I really enjoyed Ark Nova.
Yeah.
It was, I think that the comparison to Terraforming Mars was accurate, but at the same time, it's different enough that I think they fulfill two different, like, niches.
I think they're pretty different.
They have some similarities, though.
Yeah, but so do all games, really.
Okay.
Like, right. Oh, I have a worker placement game. I guess I shouldn't buy another worker placement game.
That's fair. They're different enough like, that you should. On. Yeah, okay.
Like, people said the same thing about Underwater Cities. They're like, it's the same game as Terraforming Mars. And I'm like, it's not.
Yeah, that's not true.
It's not. But people said it at the time. So, mm-hmm. You know, like, for instance, Terraforming Mars, how do you take actions? Well, you can pay for them, or you can play, you know, your card. But in Ark Nova, you have 5 cards and you're always doing one of them.
I really liked that strategy. So in case you're not aware, you have 5 cards are in front of you. Each one is one action that you can take, and they're always in front of you. So you can always do these 5 actions, but the more you let it wait, so whenever you take an action, you have to put it back at the start, and the more these keep building up, the stronger they get. And so you really
like
want
slide
to...
slide forward to the higher value. It's like they're numbered.
Yeah, so. 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And so you really want to wait for that last 5 spot. And so it rewards you for kind of doing it cyclically almost. Right.
But sometimes you really need to do that action at a certain time and you're like, but if I wait, but I really need to do it now.
Yeah.
What can I do if I have it, if it's a less strong action, how can I kind of balance that with something else I might get to do? Timing is a big part of this, and it's really not a big deal in Terraforming Mars. Timing's not really an issue.
That's true.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, except for save like a few positions of like, oh, well, I see it's getting close to a bump on one of the tracks that's going to get a bonus. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll wait and see if someone else bumps it up one more time. But other than that, I mean, that's all this game is like timing and when to upgrade and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And I think the mechanic of like you have 2 different victory points that they're kind of going on opposite sides of the board, mm-hmm. and you have to wait till they cross.
Yep.
And as soon as they cross, the game is over.
Well, almost.
Well, you got another turn.
Yeah, everybody else gets a turn.
But I love how the way you score it isn't who has the most points on either one, but how separated they are.
Which, again, is not like Terraforming Mars, which is strictly victory points.
Right.
Okay, so it's too different to say why they're the same.
Okay.
To me.
I see the point, though. It's got the tableau you make in front of you. Oh,
you play cards
icons.
And they have icons on them. Magic the Gathering never did that.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's
Underwater Cities has the same thing. It's like, oh, these are my production cards. These are my green and red cards. And these are, you know, this is all the same.
You're making good points.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to say they're exactly the same.
It's a great game. I like it. I just don't understand why people, like, want to make it a hard comparison to Terraforming Mars.
That's true. I do think people try a bit too hard to compare these games.
I mean, Terraforming Mars is, like, one of the most popular games of all time. So, of course, people are going to, like, compare it.
Yeah. Right.
But it doesn't mean that they're anything like each other.
Right.
I mean, there's some overlap on similar mechanisms, but they're a very different experience.
That's true. I think the way they're combined makes it a really different experience.
You know, and the way that they score as far as the outer tracks meeting, that's a Rajas of the Ganges thing. If you've ever played that, that's how that scores. I mean, there's no victory points in that. You're just going up income on one and fame on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. But, you know, that's about it. That's the only overlap. Like, Rajas is a dice, you know, worker placement, right? And Ark Nova, not really worker placement.
No.
No dice.
Minimal worker placement, kind of. You have that, what's the extra board called?
Yeah, that's not really worker placement. That's action selection.
Okay.
Because there's, like, a real worker placement is like, oh, if you go there, I can't go there. Or if you go there, I have to play something extra. Like,
yeah, okay.
It's not really worker placement.
Sure,
that's
right.
Just like, which action do I want? And then they say, oh, well, if you want to do it again, then you got to use an extra guy. But that's not worker placement.
That's a good point. You're right.
That's not the majority of what you're doing in this game. You're just selecting a card, doing the action, and then moving it over.
Though I do think it's a very important part of the game. Like, it's something sure. You kind of have to build sure. towards.
I think it's a fun game. It might be a little bit hyped at this point. I mean, it's still highly rated, and it just came out. I mean, that's just, mm-hmm. that's hype. I enjoy it. I like it a lot. But I think if you're expecting it to be the best game in the world and you play it, then you're going to be a little bit disappointed, and you may not like it as much.
Yeah, we talked to someone at the con who kind of felt like that.
That was his impression.
Yeah, he's super like, hyped it up, thinking it was going to be like the next Terraforming Mars.
Like the best game in the world.
And I think he just... like overhyped it a bit.
Right. And I think if you go in there with no expectations and you just like the idea of like building your own zoo, you're gonna have a blast.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a heavy game. You gotta know it's a heavy game and appreciate that, or you're not gonna like it.
But I think the theme actually does really give it a lot of benefit here.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the zoo aspect, and I think because of that I really enjoyed the game.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't love animals? And I will say, this is one of those games like whereas like Wingspan, every card is unique.
Yeah.
There's no duplicate card in here except for your action cards, which aren't, you know, you're not collecting those. Like,
and I think there's a sense of, like, scientific accuracy like Wingspan,
yeah.
too. I would imagine it's probably less so than Wingspan.
It is in the rule book that they do try to, you know, as closely as possible, categorize the animals similarly to what their actual genus and species are.
Right,
and
right.
like, all the different conservation projects that are out there.
Like, where they're located.
Right, but... you know, they have to make some adjustments for the gameplay itself, but they do try to make it a fairly accurate, you know, representation of zoology.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I recommend trying it, and just don't hype it up for yourself, and you'll have a good time. You know, I want to talk about a game that we got to the table. For me, I got it to the table for the first time, and we played it twice, because it was so good.
This is a game that you have been hyping up for a long time now.
I have been wanting to play this ever since I backed it and I heard about it.
So, and I'm assuming just the hype didn't affect how much you enjoyed the game.
No, I loved it, regardless of the hype, because no one else was telling me how great it was. It was just me. I'm like, a dinosaur game. Yay.
All right, I can see that.
I'm happy because it was a dinosaur-themed game where it's like, you know, old world meets new and, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of lost world, you know, feel and, Land of the Lost. But also it's a heavy Euro from Mindclash,
yeah.
who made some of my favorite games of all time, like Anachrony. And, you know, these are heavy Euros, which I appreciate. But, you know, if you want a heavy Euro dinosaur game, your only option is like Dinosaur Island because... like Dinogenics, it's great, but it's not really heavy Euro. It's kind of a medium weight,
sure.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I wanted something else, you know, and Mindclash has been great with, you know, that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And the look of it, the theme of it, like it all just fits really what I wanted.
I think the theme, I agree
Did
with
we say what it was?
Part.
I don't think we didn't even give the title yet. The game is called Perseverance Castaway Chronicles, which technically, in the box that was delivered, it's episodes 1 and 2.
Two separate games.
Because there's two games in the box. And, you know, some of the components are used for both and some are used for only one.
So that is incredibly interesting to me. There's two separate games. Are they really two separate games? Like, if you played one and then played the other, is it two variations of the same game? Or is it actually two separate games?
It's not a campaign, but it is an extension in the storyline. Like, it's not like the first game impacts your gameplay of the second one.
Sure.
But it definitely influences the storyline of what's kind of going on in the game.
It's just like a later point in time.
Yeah. It's set at a later point after, you know, the events of the first game. But your choices, your actions, none of that actually changes, like, anything. It's just kind of setting. Setting improves, setting continues. So, for example, in the first episode one, you are working together to slowly build your own community and establish who's going to lead and maybe make a wall to try to stop the incoming dinosaurs. But every time you do something, you're attracting dinosaurs, so you have to manage defending, you know, the community and getting stuff done and erecting, you know, enough civilization to live, because they crash landed essentially with their cruise ship on this island and they have to make do. In the episode two, it kind of runs with that and says, okay, now you've established the community and you have a wall, so you're safe. And now when you're taking actions, you don't have to worry about dinosaurs coming and, you know, having to deal with their attacks. But you can choose to go on these adventures, and you can choose to kind of go out past the wall onto these hex tiles, which do often have dinosaurs on them. And they cover up spots that, you know, in the land that could be cleared, that you can actually put what they call outposts. And what those are new action spaces. So you slowly gain more actions during the game. And so that top half of the board becomes like a fifth action area once people start putting new actions out there.
Okay.
So you can build camps and you can build outposts. And from either one, you can take this adventure action. And then from there, like from that particular one, you put your little rally point marker, and any adjacent hex that you want to adventure on, you can do so. And just like the other game, it kind of gives you a few options of actions you can do. One of which, if it's an empty tile, you can clear it off the board and then, you know, get to collect, a perk or something like that with one of the chiefs. If there's dinosaurs, you can choose to attack the dinosaurs. And, you know, you use your soldiers. If they die, they get returned to your supply. But if you kill them, which is sort of the point, you can either collect like a victory point or a follower for each one you kill, or you can collect one of them per combat. And those collected dinosaurs on your board, you can just hang on to them for the end of the game. You'll get scored a lot of points for having three or four of a type. Or you can spend the dinosaur from your board and like release them as part of an action on the community side of the board. And there's a specific action for each of the three types of dinosaurs, because in episode two, you get a new dinosaur type.
So, okay, I've only played episode one, but in episode one, followers and politicking, I guess you could call it, is really important, because followers are the end game victory points.
Same here.
Okay. That's what I was curious about.
Yeah, followers are still the victory points. There's still ways to get them for various reasons. Politics is still a thing, because you can still change out the neutral dice with your dice. Still having control of each community area is still a thing, but now that fifth area is also a community area that you would look at control. And so you would gain, you know, votes for that. So it takes a lot of the same mechanisms and then just expands on them and does them in a different way, which I really like. There's also a temple to explore, which is kind of in the middle of the map.
Is it like humans have already been on this island before?
Well, that's part of the mystique of this. You know, we don't know. Like, it doesn't really explain too much. But there's a temple miniature that you put on the map. And at the beginning of the game, you get dealt like a standard adventure card, like the plains, which is like closest to you, where that's where you can resolve an adventure. Or you also get dealt, a temple card, and that's the only one you get in the game, and you have to have like at least six soldiers to go on the adventure.
Okay.
And you can only do it at the temple space. And if you get it, then you're going to get a ton of stuff.
So we probably need to wait for episode three to figure out if that temple is like...
Maybe. I don't know.
I really want to know.
I mean, there's like a campaign rule book in the game.
Oh, is there?
There is a campaign rule book that we haven't explored.
Oh.
And there's also a companion book that's, it seems to be mostly journals, like, of the survivors and the officers and stuff.
Wow, they really put a lot of effort into the lore here.
You know what? Mind Clash does that.
That's
they
true.
Really
yeah.
do. And as an example, Anachrony, I mean, it has a huge amount of lore and story to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so much that I made a video on it.
Are you going to make a video on this one?
I don't know if there's enough that I can, like, from the material currently out.
When was the last time you made a lore video?
Ooh, like a year ago.
I know. It's been a while.
At least a year ago.
All your lore fans are just, like...
All the lore fans. Yeah, it's not even a thing. Like, I just started doing it. I was the only one. I think I'm still the only one who does it.
Well, that's your niche, man. You gotta...
Is it, though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, that could be something that I could find a friend who... Maybe he does a podcast with me and was looking to help out some more to give him a task to do.
Do you know someone like that?
Not really. Mm-hmm. He's the only person I know. He just likes to come and talk.
I just and play games. Talk about wine.
So if you want Steven to do some more lore videos for the channel, comment below. And then when he gets his Instagram, start messaging him.
Honestly, I do think this is probably something you guilt me into. If enough people actually want lore videos.
Well,
because if it's not something people care about, then I'm not going to do it. But if someone
I will
actually...
say that the lore videos have gotten like 800 to 1,000 or so views.
So you're saying I could be famous?
Well, I mean, if you think 800 people makes you famous.
It's more people than I know.
I've played concerts to that many people.
Oh.
But I'm not famous.
I think that depends on who you ask.
Okay.
We've had people come up to you at cons and be like, yo, Jared, yeah. I know you from...
Well, whatever.
That doesn't happen unless you're famous.
Nah, it's not. It's not the same.
No one does it to me.
That's because you're not popular enough.
I know.
Maybe if you start writing lore videos. Okay, we're going full circle.
All right, so that is... Perseverance, Castaway Chronicles.
Episodes 1 and 2.
Episodes 1 and 2, which means there's room for episodes 3 and 4.
I understand they are going to make another Kickstarter with episodes 3 and 4.
Are they really?
I'm pretty sure they are.
I was making a stupid joke.
No, I really think they are.
That sounds kind of cool. I actually...
I'd buy it.
Yeah, like, I know you would.
I would.
It's Mind Clash, so of course you're going to.
Well, okay. Sure.
What's your least favorite Mind Clash game?
Ooh, maybe Cerebria? Maybe?
I thought you liked Cerebria.
I do. I do like it.
I remember that's the game you played one time at a con, and I didn't make it to start playing, and then like 4 hours later you were still playing it, and I just had to keep finding games to just...
Are you sure that was Cerebria?
No, I thought it was.
Maybe that was Lisboa?
Maybe. Oh, no, I played Cerebria with you.
Okay.
That's the game...
2-on-2 kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Teams.
No, it's a different game.
Okay, so you didn't play it.
No, I was talking about the game that you played at the con without
me. Oh, okay.
It's a different game.
But we played Cerebria?
Yeah, we played Cerebria.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. I don't like teaching it, but that's why I made a video, so yeah. I don't have to teach it, because I already taught it.
Are you going to do a video on Perseverance, Castaway Chronicles, episodes 1 and 2?
Probably. I will say I have been writing a tutorial script for it, so it's just a matter of finding the time to record it all, because... That's another game that is going to have, like, a ton of shots to record.
Yeah. I remember it took, like, 40 minutes or something to...
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're sitting there and teaching it at the table, it's going to take you 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm going to teach, just like I normally do, like, as much as I can in one video for the game. But because there's two games, I'm just going to make one complete video for episode 1.
That makes sense.
And if that has a lot of demand for episode 2, I might revisit it and do another video encompassing all there is for episode 2. And when I say encompassing all there is, I'm saying that episode 1 plus variants, plus like alternate setups, plus solo mode, all that stuff.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be like another hour long video. Just like Tidal Blades was, really.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's going to be a big project to get that thing filmed. So I don't know when it's going to be able to come out.
Do you have anything else in the pipelines for Teach that you're going to...
Well,
that's going to happen sooner?
I can say that the next tutorial is done. It's Trajan.
Okay.
So Steffenfeld, you know, classic Euro pointsality type of thing. Moncala mechanism. Trajan. And I also made one for New York Slice.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really cool... I cut, you choose game. It's not very complicated, but I think people need to play it. And sometimes you just make a video for stuff that you really want to make a video for.
I do like the pieces of New York Slice a lot. It's looks pretty
really
cool.
Neat. Yeah. It makes you hungry because it looks so photorealistic.
Oh, I know. Last time we played it, I spent the entire time looking for the closest pizza place that was open at like 2 a.m. or whatever.
He was like scrolling his phone, and then he almost bought a pizza place.
Old pizza place. I just didn't have the money overdrafted, so.
Yeah, so it didn't work out.
Oof.
That close call.
So what else do we want to talk about? Planet X.
Yeah, so we played, for the first time, I got to play the search for Planet X. It's been on my radar for a while, and I got it, and we got a chance to play it at the con.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven played with me. What'd you think?
I thought it was very interesting. I always love those puzzly type things where you have, like, the man in the red house has a fish, and he lives next door to the...
Logic.
Yeah.
Deductive logic.
Right. And I think this was, it was... basically that. Yep. And I like the app integration.
Yep.
So it has a lot of replayability because with the app, it obviously can be randomized.
Every time you play, it'll be a different setup.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. And I like that there's different levels too. So if you are, you know, feel like you're more adept at this type of thing.
An expert deducer.
Yeah. So you can say that and the app will give you, I guess, fewer clues in the beginning.
Yep. And you can even double down and flip the board over because there's more sectors.
Yeah, or because you're just mad.
Just flip it over in the middle of the game.
Either one, it's fine.
Well, the standard game is like 12 sectors. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to play expert mode where everybody, you know, is on a higher level, then it's 18 sectors.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big jump.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But every game, there are some known logic rules. Like, for instance, the asteroids, there's four of them, and they're always going to be paired together.
Yeah.
So they could be paired next to each other, meaning you've got four in a row. But, you know, if you find one, you know that there's one next to it.
Right. That's what you mean. Like, the dwarf planet can't be next to Planet X.
Right. So there's a lot of, like, basic logic rules that you know from the start. And then each game, they add additional kind of logic rules to your specific game based on how that arrangement is that you don't know until you start playing.
Right. And yeah, so you have like different actions you can do. Like you can figure out specifically what's in a sector. Obviously Planet X is going to show up as an empty sector.
Yeah, you can't win with that action.
No. But then you can do a survey over several different sectors to figure out how many of a certain thing are in those sectors, like comets.
So you'll say like in the visible spectrum of what we have, like, I'm looking at sectors 2 through 5, and then you tell the app, and then it's, you know, it's like, how many asteroids are in there? And it'll give you a number. And you're like, great. So I know within there's one or there's two.
I do think it's interesting that you have to announce what you're doing to everyone else. You don't have to announce the answers. You have to announce what you saw.
Right.
But that way that if whenever you play an action, people are aware of what
information you're getting.
Right.
And you can actually, on the sheet that you're writing everything down, there's a section specifically to log other players' actions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, you know, it's like player 2, player 3, whatever. You can put their names up there and track with little notations like what they did. And I mean, if you're a friggin' genius, you could just like deduce everything from there.
Yeah.
I just kind of like focus on what I'm doing.
Right. I actually, I didn't do too much of that.
Right.
Part of the reason was we played with a 4-year-old.
No, she was like 8.
She was not 8.
6 maybe?
The cutest kid I have ever seen in my entire life. She comes up to the table. I wasn't there yet, so I didn't see it. But she
sits down because, of course, I'd put up the box and it was like looking for players. And she's like, can I play? I was like, sure. Do you like deduction games? And she's like, what's that? I was like, well, you know, like you're given certain pieces of information. And from that, you have to find out other things. And she was just like, I like all kinds of games. Yeah. And I was like, cool. So you want to try this? She's like, yeah. All right, cool. We'll do it.
And as you can imagine, she struggled a bit with the logic part.
Yeah.
And she got like 4 points, which...
4 points.
Yeah, like it was... She got some points. So that was something. but like, I guess because of that, I really didn't focus on too much what other people were doing just because you might not be able to trust what they're doing.
Well, at least hers.
Right. So I just kind of stuck to my own.
I think the gameplay is pretty streamlined, and I think that's what you want. And it doesn't play too long, because regardless of what actions you're doing, what information you're getting for yourself, eventually the game kind of naturally gives you the whole group a piece of information. Mm-hmm. So you're going to slowly, like the longer you play, you're just going to get enough information to find out. Like, it's just going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if you're not able to deduce it very well, there's information that the game will give you like every so rounds.
But the trick is, so with each action, you are wasting time, right? And that's how far around the board you go. And so if you do more specific actions, such as seeing exactly what's in a specific sector, you're going to waste a lot of time.
Or guessing where Planet X is.
Or guessing where Planet X is. And so part of it, even if you do guess where Planet X is first, if there's someone who has used far less time than you, if they guess where Planet X is, they actually can end up winning
Didn't you win?
I did win.
Yeah, that's a good example, because I found Planet X first. Like, that was my action, and then everyone had one final action, and his final action was to also find Planet X. Mm-hmm. He did find it, and based on all the points that we all earned, because you can earn points for more than just finding the planet.
Mapping the whole sector.
Yeah, all the more that you map out stuff and, like, claim things as being what they are before it's been announced, you get points for that.
Right.
And so, all said and done, he ended up winning, even though he found it second, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So I found that very interesting from a scoring perspective, that it's not just whoever finds it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. It needs to be like that. Like,
yeah, right.
I think that makes it a very, you know, strategic game instead of just deduction.
I do, yeah. And the time budgeting, I think, was interesting too. Competitive group, then yeah. I think the time budgeting would be really important.
But I did feel that the max player count of 4 was a really good player count.
I agree.
I would play it with 4 again. I don't know if I would do 2, honestly.
I think 4 is definitely ideal.
I enjoyed that.
3 or 4.
3 or 4. I think 4 is probably the best, though. Mm-hmm. 3 seems fine, probably. But the player turns don't take very long, and you're always engaged because you're always, like, trying to think what your next action should be based on what information you have. So there's never any downtime, really.
No. And as long as you're not sharing a phone, like, your turns are super quick and you don't have to worry about what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, it's one of those where if you have your own device, you can do your own turn on your own device. So my final thoughts of The Search for Planet X are really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I think for a streamlined deduction game, this is a good one. The other deduction game that I'm thinking of that is similar in that mechanism is Alchemists, but that is a much more heavy game.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot longer.
It does.
So this is a good one to have in your back pocket. Not literally, because it's a big board.
It's still a big box.
It's still a big box. But I would definitely recommend owning it if you like deduction games. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I would say, so I'm a pretty fickle gamer. I think a lot of games I'm happy to play once, then maybe I'll pull them out a few years later.
Nope.
But this game, and I think it says a lot that I enjoyed this game enough that I would actually play it again
soon.
Now.
Yeah.
It's a really great
game. It kind of sticks with you. You're like, I wonder if I could do any better, faster. And,
yeah.
You know, like, you just want to keep trying. It's like a logic puzzle, right? I mean, how fun is that? Like,
right.
People who do Sudoku, it's a similar kind of thing. It's logic, you know? So you just want to keep playing it.
And also, like, it's Roll and Write, I think, has a lot of replayability for that reason. But speaking of Roll and Writes,
sure,
which is why I mentioned it, Rolling Realms.
Yes,
I played Rolling Realms.
We
first
did
time,
play Rolling Realms,
and we played it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd still play that one again too.
I would. Yeah, it's fun.
And you mentioned at some point,
I did really well, by the way.
I know.
I won both times.
I think you did win both times.
By the way.
Yeah.
I think I'm just the superior gamer.
I think I just haven't been watching
in
well
this
enough.
Duo.
I won so many games.
That's true.
I won so many games.
I just have to brag about, like, the ones that I did win.
It's very abnormal for me to win as many games as I did. So, like, I'm not trying to say that I'm superior by any means, but
yeah, he actually really upset Holly because we played with her like every game.
Yeah, really?
And she was getting really upset that she didn't win anything.
Wait, it wasn't me though, right?
I mean, you won every game.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Okay, all right. So maybe it was me. It's not my fault. I just, you know.
It wasn't your fault?
I go hard in the paint.
Wow.
On the cardboard.
Okay. no mercy.
Yeah.
He's like, he's one of those guys where, you know, you're at the party and it's like, hey, can my kids play? It's like, yeah, but he's not going to go easy on them.
No, actually, I was raised that way. One of the reasons I'm so good at foosball now is because my mom is really good at foosball.
Really?
And she, the first, I would say, several years of playing foosball with
her. You just lost for years.
I never scored. And like every single time she beat me, like, you know, I have 0 points. And then she would just laugh. And it was like, and honestly, looking back, I'm like, that really was awesome. And now I tried so hard to catch
up. You have a win complex.
No, I don't think I do.
Because you're like, I have to win because I've suffered so much.
I don't think I have a win complex, but I do have a hard time not trying.
Okay.
I'm very good at playing for fun and having a good time, but I will be trying my hardest too.
And then he'll laugh at you like his mom did.
Which
is probably why Holly got upset.
I didn't do that. I don't do that. It sounds a lot worse than it actually is. I think it was. I'm making it sound meaner than it actually was. It wasn't mean spirited or anything like that. But she definitely went hard, and that's why I'm so good at foosball now.
Nice. Well, we'll have to try that so that you can win against me at something else.
We still have to play Connect Four.
What?
Connect Four.
Why are we playing Connect Four?
You say that every single time I bring it up, because Connect Four is awesome, for one.
Wow.
It's not just a kid's game.
Okay. Oh. Hey, you know what game I want to talk about that we tried at Recon? That you won, actually.
Oh, what is it?
Ham's Sandwich Shop.
I won that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were, we shared a hotel room, you know, and so we're out in the parking lot on the little picnic table, and we played Ham's Sandwich Shop.
One of those picnic tables with holes all in it, so.
Yeah, you know, it's, what can you do?
We could play inside.
On what? On the bed? I mean.
Yeah, on the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. But we played it, and it's me, you, and Holly, actually. Mm-hmm. And in the game, you're trying to complete three sandwiches
or miss two sandwiches.
Yeah, so you either complete three and win, or you make two mistakes and lose, mm-hmm. and then you're out. And so we actually got to the point where all three of us had made one mistake.
Yeah.
And we all had one sandwich. It was like anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he won.
I think I won because you made a mistake, right?
I did make a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the one that I tricked you on? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you played the hamster token that made it so that he was eating the ingredient below him,
mm-hmm.
which kind of made me not be able to complete the sandwich I thought was complete.
I have to say, I do think that game has a lot more nuance and complexity than I gave it credit for.
Yeah.
It is really interesting, and I started it thinking I was going to dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Holly really likes that game.
Does she?
Yeah. So I asked her after, you know, however many plays of games over the, not only just the weekend, but, you know, for the months that I've been playing games with her, because she's a newer gamer, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done a con previous to this, so she's gotten a lot of games under her belt, and I'm like, what are your favorites, right? Her number one still is Shobu.
Oh, yeah?
That is her favorite game right now.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I love that game. But
I do, too.
I'm like, you've played so much. Why is it still your number one? She's like, it's just great. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I understand.
It's just quick enough. It's abstract. Yeah. There's a lot of depth to it, too. Yeah. Like, I think it's got a lot going for it.
Yeah. I believe from the weekend, she said her second pick was Architects. No, that was her third pick. Architects. Mm. Perseverance was her second pick.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
sense.
But I think it was tied with another one. I just can't remember the other one.
Fear? Which was really interesting.
Yeah. We played this card game called Fear by Friedman Fries.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he made Power Grid. Yeah, he did.
Oh.
Fear. It's a game that has no instruction manual because the rules change as you go. It's kind of like Flux, but you don't have the influence of the rules. The game tells you the rules as you start playing.
Like you can't shuffle it because the deck is in order.
Yeah, they're all numbered so that if they get mixed up, you can reset the deck.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you play game after game and you slowly get further into the deck and it slowly changes the gameplay for different rule sets and everything. And it's very interesting. We had a blast playing it. And every time someone would win or, you know, like tap out, like we would just cheer. It was very fun.
Yeah.
And the people around would be like, what is going on over there? Like, what are they playing? And I'm like, it's just a card game. Like,
I do think it's a pretty interesting, like, party type game. And I think the max player count is 4, but don't listen to that. Like, you can play with as many people.
I think it's up to 5.
Is it? Either way.
That we ended up playing, like, 7 or 8.
Eventually, because people kept coming in and joining.
Like, can I try it? It's like, sure, we'll get through the deck faster.
Yeah. I mean, it's really simplistic, really easy. Mm-hmm. Anyone can learn to play it. But it's, you know, it's a good time.
It's a good time. And, you know, probably for the price point, it's worth picking up.
Because it's just a small little deck of cards.
It's just a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Didn't think you'd get a card recommendation today, did you?
There's other good card games.
Well, I mean, we normally talk about big old board games and Euros and the hotness. And
you
stuff.
Do tend to go more heavy.
I do. So I'm glad I got to play it.
Yeah. Which is, I think when I started working, doing things on this channel, I started skewing more light just because I know that's like different.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm not sure how I actually skew in my own personal time.
Yeah. Well, you still have a collection to build up. So you got a lot of space to, you know, choose your games.
I got those 3 games from Asmodee.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got all 3 because it came with free shipping.
So there was a big sale that I saw for a number of Asmodee games. And I sent them some links. I'm like, hey, I know you had asked me several times, you know, like, hey, what kind of games should I be looking at? And if there's any good sales, like at the flea market, for instance, which was at the convention. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw these sales and I was like, these are pretty good.
I'm excited about Tokyo Highway.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like Dragon Delta, which I... Yes.
But it's a dexterity game.
It does look like a dexterity game.
It is a dexterity game.
Yes. And Dragon Delta is, it's very similar looking, but it's not a dexterity game.
Right.
We have to tell ourselves that over and over again.
Right.
Because that's really not important. As long as you can place it, you know, it's fine.
It's fun. What are the other 2?
There was The Magnificent.
The Magnificent.
I think that's what it's called.
Did you pick that up?
Yeah. That was the most expensive one, and it was still like $20.
Really?
Yeah.
I bought it for $11.
Okay, maybe. There was one that was like 90% off, and it was like $6 or something.
Not
plus shipping.
No.
Okay, I don't know what it was, but I ended up spending like $30 or $35 for 3 games.
That's pretty good.
And so at that price, I was like, I'm just going to check, see if it's good, you know? Like,
I mean, I kind of curated them for you a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Well, yeah.
I just figured you got the cheapest discounts.
No, I went through the list of what was on sale.
Aww.
And I was like, these are good.
That's nice.
Some of them I owned. Like, I own Tokyo Highway.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, we should play it.
You would love it.
I think so, too.
And it plays fine at all player counts, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, but I think it's probably more, it looks crazier when there's more people.
Yeah, isn't, I saw on BGG, because I looked up some questions, and they said it was like a 2-player game, but on the... Yeah.
You can
website.
Play 4 players.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's 4 players.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to Dragon Delta, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not one you bought. That's one you actually bought for me before the con.
Right. Yeah, right before the con, I bought this, because neither of us had played it.
No, I just, you know, it's a game I got in a lot of board games, right? And I was, like, just trying to sell out, because I need to clear some space on the shelf. And it wasn't one I was, like, particularly... interested in looking at necessarily, but it turns out
it's a sleeper hit.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's super light and easy to play, and I have been telling
you, played it several times over the convention.
I think I played it like 3 or 4 times,
right? And you kept introducing it to people, and people walk by and they're like, what is this? And before you know it, you got another game back to back. You're like,
yeah,
here we go.
And I think it were like Dragon 2 people Delta. Like did the Dreamscape thing where they tried to buy it on eBay before. Yeah. And there's a second version, which is...
River Dragons.
Yeah.
So it's... The version that I sold them is the first edition, which was named Dragon Delta. And then at some point, they... I don't know who bought it or re-released it, but they rebranded it with a dual-layer board, meaning it's just a different, little bit different on the back. But they named it River Dragons, but it's the same game. So if you're looking for it now, you can look for either one. He has Dragon Delta.
Yep.
And... it plays up to, what, 5?
6.
6
people.
6 people can play?
I think it's best 4 to 6.
It's a riot.
Six. Yeah.
It is a riot.
And you're trying to get exactly opposite of where you are. Mm-hmm. The point of the game is just to get across the board. You have to go to opposite. So it's really good when you have even numbers.
It's like tack.
It's like, no.
It's like tack.
Okay, kind of
you're
like
trying to get to the opposite side of the board.
Yeah, but there's always
you're
someone on the opposite
road.
Side.
That's, holy crap. It's another tack reference.
Okay, this is not a tack killer.
It's a tack killer.
No. Wait, yeah, actually, that's a point. Good point. We did not mention tack in the last episode, did we?
I'm sure we did somehow. It's a great game.
We're slipping.
That's great. Play it.
Anyway, yeah, so it's best 4 to 6 people because you have to have someone on the opposite side of you.
Well, sort of. You want a lot of interaction so that you can start using other players' bridges.
Yeah. But I've been trying to get him to, since we played it, I've been telling him every day we need to play this on stream.
It's been like 3 weeks.
I know.
And it's like every day. You're like, let's play it again.
I know.
And let's do it on camera.
On camera.
Like, let's proselytize Dragon Delta.
Yeah. I have to tell the world about Dragon Delta.
That's his new mission in life.
It is.
That and Dreamscape.
And so Dreamscape. Yeah.
If you have any takeaways from the podcast, go check out those two games.
Oh, yeah. Well as, you know. Perseverance. I keep saying preservation.
Castaway Chronicles episodes 1 and 2.
Which was good. I think that's a good one to check
out. Arc Nova's great.
Arc Nova.
Search for Planet X. But biggest takeaway from Steven was definitely Dragon Delta and Dreamscape.
Were there any games that you played this weekend, or not this weekend, the weekend of the con?
The con.
That you didn't enjoy as much as you thought you would?
I'd have to think about that more.
We haven't mentioned Architects yet.
I love that game.
Me too. That's
I good. Really do. And you know, and it still stands up because as I said, Holly said it was her third favorite out of the whole convention.
Mm-hmm.
I have the neoprene playmat, which includes all the sections on the outer edge of the board for all the expansions that are out for it. And I have all those expansions. So we played with the Artisans expansion and the Works of Wonder expansion. I enjoyed them both. I think Works of Wonder might be more of my favorite than Artisans, but I do like that it adds that extra large meeple for that extra boost when you need it.
Right.
But you only get one. Which, if you played the game, that's, you know, it's a big deal because you get like 20, 30 workers. But that special one is only one.
I ended the game with like my last worker gone, and I barely came in without any workers left. It was a close one. I don't know what happened to them all, honestly.
They disappear when you build things.
Oh, right. I built a lot of stuff, so they
just
got locked
down. At the guild hall, you got to sacrifice a dude.
That's hard, because you only have so many.
I know, and then you're like, well, now I got 5 to work with or something.
And it was, which one of the expansions caused it, so you have to place another worker on top of your built worker?
I think that was Artisans.
Yeah. So to get an artisan, or to get like a tool or an apprentice...
Well, the top cards are that's how you place them on top for the tools, which add on to an apprentice, or the adornments.
Which go on the buildings.
Which go on the buildings.
Yeah.
But they're the same card. You just kind of use them different ways, and they cost different things depending on how you're going to use it.
And it's a cool mechanic, but you also have to burn a second meeple to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was just going crazy with those two things and just burned all my meeples.
Yeah, he was running out for sure.
Yeah.
Who won that game? Did you win that game?
No, I didn't.
I feel like... I don't remember. We played it 5 players.
Right? Yeah.
With the expansion, it also plays up to 6. But I would say don't play more than 5. It would take a lot longer.
I think 5 was a good number.
Mm-hmm. 4 or 5. 4 is probably the ideal number, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 is still great. It's doable.
I would say you need to be careful of any game that bumps up extra players whenever they put out an expansion. That's usually a red flag.
Well, it's not that you have to, but they included the components to do it.
But the reason they included it is because people wanted it, not because they thought they should.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes the people demand things and then they get it and then it's not so
great. Yeah, and they see what they actually got and it's not what they wanted.
It's not so great.
No.
Yeah, I had fun overall. I can't really think of a game that was like a disappointment. I generally like playing most things.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I think that kind of wraps it up for today. I enjoyed, you know, sharing with you guys a little bit of our experience with the convention and some of our thoughts on some newer games and games that were new to us. Hopefully those recommendations or the discussion might help you in some, you know, choices of games you might want to try.
Yeah. Anything upcoming on the channel you should look out for?
You know, just more of the same. I've already mentioned the tutorials that are coming up, and the off-the-shelf recommendation videos are new. So check those out. Those are just short 2-3 minute like recommendation videos where I pull something off the shelf and can talk about them.
Off the shelf makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm planning out. I think I mentioned it to you already. I want to do a top 10 of upcoming games that I'm really interested in. Because I just realized there is a ton of upcoming games that I'm really excited about.
Yep. Someone's been watching my news videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I keep them on while I'm at work.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, like, it's an hour long, so, like, I have to.
My news videos?
Yeah, how long are they?
They're, like, 30 minutes.
Either way.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I don't have free time unless I'm at work, and I just keep it on in the background while I'm coding.
You're at work to get free time?
No. I don't have free time unless I'm at work.
See what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, no. That's true. So when I mean free time to listen to like YouTube videos.
Mm.
And those are good because unless you're showing like a screenshot on, I don't really have to watch it.
It's true. But it's one of those things where you can listen if it's something you want to hear or know more about, you pop it open for a second and see the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's always nice.
Yeah. I just keep my phone. I play it on my phone. And I keep it like right next to my screen right here. Cool. So I can always just look over.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode of our Mentor Minutes podcast. And if you're watching the video version, thank you for checking out the YouTube channel and maybe subscribe so you don't miss anything else that we've been talking about and more episodes. And if you're listening or maybe you're unaware that we have an audio only version of this, and that's you're found anywhere where there are podcasts streaming. So check them out either place that you want to consume podcasts.
Yeah,
we do it all. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I've been Jared.
I'm Steven.
See you next time.